Welcome to Reformation Platform Media. And now, we present to you God's Word, which is able to save your soul. Please, listen with your heart as the servant of God brings us the Word of Life.
Let us tell him. Thou and thou only, the first in my heart. Lord, it is my desire, in the name of Jesus, that you will always be first in my heart. Help me, that you will always be the first person in my heart, in the name of Jesus. That you will always be my first and only choice. That my desire will be to please you first, to please you only, and to please you always, in the name of Jesus. For my desire will be to please you first, to please you only, to please you always, in the name of Jesus. Lord, I want you to be my inheritance now and always. High King of Heaven, I want you to be my treasure. The only thing, the only one whom I treasure, even in the name of Jesus. My own heart, whatever befalls me, be my vision, O ruler of all. In this world of sin and evil and darkness, Lord, be my battle shield, be my sword for the fight, be my dignity. You, my delight, you, Lord, a soul shelter, you, my high tower, raise me heavenward, you, the power that empowers my power. My vision, change my perspective about all things, help me to hold the same view with you on all matters in Jesus' name. Help me to hold the same view with you on all things in the name of Jesus. Lord, be my wisdom, be my true word. Let me ever be with you, and may you always be with me. I desire to be my great father, may I remain your true son. Jesus' name we have prayed. Lord, here we are in your presence. Today is the final day of this meeting. Lord, conclude this meeting with us in the name of Jesus. Bring us to that point that you ordained that we will get to as individuals and collectively in the name of Jesus. Touch every life. Move each of us forward in the purpose of God for our lives. Glory to your holy name. I decree in your name that our hearts be opened, our understanding be fruitful. Glory to your name, Father. In Jesus' name we have prayed. Let us be seated. God bless you. Revelation chapter 21, verse 27. And it reads this way, and there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. Nothing will enter in that is defiled, Nothing will enter into the kingdom of God that works an abomination. Nothing will enter into God's kingdom that makes a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. It is this passage that we will attempt to finish with today, first in this session and then in the last session before we close. What then is that thing that defiles? Amen. The Holy Spirit points to four things. Please, I need this thing erased. I need somebody to write on the board so that we can save some time. There are four great defilers of the spirit, soul, and body. And no one who has been polluted by any of them will be admitted into the coming kingdom. Amen. There are these things. Number one, the flesh. I was reading, I was quoting the Bible yesterday, Romans 8, verse 6 to 8, when we said, "For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. For the carnal mind is enmity against God. It does not obey the laws of God, and indeed it cannot. Therefore, they which are in the flesh, they cannot please God." The flesh is the first defiler. Jude chapter 1 verse 23. Romans 8, 6 to 8 that I just read now. And Romans 7 verse 18. In Jude 1 verse 23, the Bible says, "Hating the very clothes spotted by the flesh." Nobody who is in the flesh will make it home. There's no other way to say it other than we say it the way it is. So what then is the flesh? Before that definition, in Romans 7, 18, that I called now, the Bible said that, "For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwells no good thing." For I know that what? In me, that is in my flesh, dwells no good thing. We must individually come to that point. You must know that there's nothing good in you as a person. Most of us still think that there's something good in the flesh. As early as Genesis chapter 6 and verse 3, God speaking, he said, "My spirit shall no longer strive. It will no longer wrestle with man." Why? Because he is flesh. Are you getting it? The flesh will not make it home. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 50, it says, "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all die, but we shall all be changed." No, it began by saying, flesh and blood shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Neither shall corruption inherit incorruption. The flesh will not inherit the kingdom of God. What then is the flesh? It is simply the fallen natural man in his fallen natural state. What is the flesh? It's simply the fallen natural man in his fallen natural state, independent of the lordship of Jesus, independent of the influence, guidance, and leadership of the Holy Spirit, and in active and sometimes passive rebellion and enmity against the Lord God Almighty. You may want to look at it and write it down, because there are scriptures that I speak. Amen. The flesh is the fallen natural man in his fallen natural state. The state Adam was when he sinned against God and he was sent out, which is the natural state in which every human being that is born. As scriptures say, "Behold, I was shaping in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me? Psalm 51 and verse 5. And as Bible says in Job 14 and verse 4, who can take a clean thing out of an unclean thing? Not one. So there's no how, the way you are, the way I am, in the flesh, there's no how I can enter into the kingdom of God. It's not possible. For flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Neither does corruption inherit incorruption. It is a fallen natural man in his fallen natural state, independent of the lordship of Jesus, independent of the influence, the guidance, and the leadership of the Holy Spirit. Those three words, are they the same? Influence, guidance, leadership, are they the same? They are not the same. So now, is it the Holy Spirit that the flesh keeps wrestling with, according to Genesis chapter 6 and verse 3? Is that the person that will lead the flesh? It's not possible. Then shall in no wise enter in anything that is defiled. The first out of the four defilers is the flesh. It's not only defiled, it's also equally a defiler. And the flesh, it's not just independent of the lordship of Jesus Christ. That's why no matter what Jesus says, he's saying his own. Even when the person is carrying the Bible. But as long as he remains in the flesh, the only destiny he has is in hell. He has no destiny in God. For Jesus is not Lord, even when the person says Jesus is Lord. How the person lives his life or her life shows clearly that he doesn't believe what comes out from his own mouth. Isn't that why, according to Matthew chapter 7 and verse 21 to 23, the Lord Jesus saying, not everyone who says to me, Lord, 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 will enter into the kingdom of my Father in heaven, but those who do the will of my Father. Say, for in that day many will say unto me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? Did we not do many mighty works in your name? Did you not cast out devils in your name? Said, and I will say to them, depart from me, you workers of iniquity, because I don't know you. The Lord does not know the flesh. What did I say? Doesn't know it's an enemy. It will remain an enemy. And that you're born again does not mean that you're incapable of living in the flesh. Are you getting it now? That's why Jesus, talking about how we're supposed to follow him, in Luke chapter 9 and from verse 23, he said, deny yourself, which is simply deny your flesh. Okay? Take up your cross, and then what? Follow me. Whoever does not want to separate himself from the flesh will live in the flesh. And they that sow to the flesh shall of the flesh reap what? Corruption. But those who sow to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap eternal life. These things are set. They are fixed. Nobody can change them. That so many people in the flesh and the majority in the body of Christ will not bring them in into the eternal kingdom. Amen. For God will not lower a standard for any man. The normal Christian life is a spiritual life. What's a normal Christian life? It's not this falling and rising, you know, being in the flesh 90%, being in the spirit 10%. That's not a Christian life. That it became the standard of what Christianity is in our age and day doesn't make it right, doesn't make it godly, doesn't make it acceptable. Amen. And if you don't tell yourself the truth and you continue living the way you're living, let me ask you a question. If somebody is in the flesh, if the rapture happens or the trumpet sounds, I hope you know it will sound in the spirit. Eh? Will he hear? Why? He's in the flesh. Not only is he independent of the leadership of Jesus, of the lordship of Jesus, he's equally independent of the influence of the Holy Spirit. So when the Holy Spirit says stand up, he doesn't stand up, he turns in the bed and he changes gear. Amen. When the Holy Spirit says keep quiet, he talks. Because it feels like talking. When he has said his mind, he will calm down. When the Holy Spirit says, don't do this, that's what he will do.
Why? Because it's not influenced by the Spirit of God. Is that not why churches keep multiplying in Lagos, and yet Lagos remains the most corrupt place? Churches are multiplying in Nigeria, and yet the country is still very corrupt. The reason is simple. It's because people are not living in the Spirit, even though they are carrying the Bible. The Bible says they have a form of godliness, but they deny the power thereof. The power in godliness that will change them, they deny it. They wrestle against it. But they want to be called the children of God nonetheless. Sin is a second defiler. Jeremiah chapter 44 verse 4. Habakkuk chapter 1 verse 13a.
Ever, I sent to you all my servants the prophets.
Yes.
Rising early and sending them.
Yes.
Saying, oh, do not do this abominable thing that I hate.
Don't do this abominable thing that I hate. What is sin before God? Abomination. It's something he hates. Habakkuk chapter 1 verse 13, the first part of it, the first phrase there.
You are of purer eyes than to behold evil.
O Lord God Almighty, you are of purer eyes than to behold evil.
Deadness.
You cannot look on sin. Who has NLT first edition? It's very interesting the way it puts it. NLT, that same
But
you are pure
and cannot stand the sight of evil.
And cannot stand the sight of evil. No, then, that's not first edition.
Okay.
Let me look for it. It says, but you who cannot allow sin in any form. What did you say about God? He cannot, he does not allow sin how? In any form. If I'm just using poor human way to explain, let me, you know, because many times human language fails us when we are speaking about spiritual things. When in your sitting room, where can you allow poo-poo? Just a little. Huh? Where can you allow poo-poo? When you see poo-poo, what must happen that day? Huh? Can you leave poo-poo and say, okay, when I finish what I'm doing, I'll clean it. What do you do when you see it? You leave everything. When must it be wiped off? Immediately. That's how God sees sin. But like I said, it's just a poor imitation or a poor example, but at least you have a faint idea of what we are talking about. Sin is lawlessness. What is sin? It is being unrestrained by God's will and being unregulated by his commands. What is sin? It is lawlessness. Imagine that we have no traffic laws. And however you drive, whatever you do, there's no law. Don't you think there'll be a crisis? How often will there be accidents? Eh? I'm asking you, how often will there be accidents? You know, traffic laws. You said what? Every second. Especially at junctions and roundabouts. Anybody can go anyhow he wants to go. Nobody is stopping anybody. Lawlessness. What is more intriguing about sin is this, about this defilement called sin, is that it is both a principle, that is a way of life. You can see that in 1 John 3 verse, from verse 4 to 9. And it's also a person. That is the controlling and dominant spirit over a life. Ephesians 2, 2, John 8, 34, Romans 7, 14 to 20. I don't have enough time because where we are going is really, really far. So I won't be able to spend as much time on these things as I want to. But let's see Ephesians 2, 2 and John 8, 34 to just establish that fact. That is, sin is not just what people do. Do you understand? There's also spirits who are the personification of sin. Do you understand? Sin is just, it's not just an act. It's also what? A person. That's what I'm trying to say. In other words, nobody just sins. Something makes them to sin. Do you understand it now? That's another better way of explaining it. Yes, John 8. Ephesians 2:2. Okay, Ephesians 2:2.
In which you once walked.
In which you once walked.
Following the course of this world.
Following the course of this world.
Following the prince of the power of the air.
Following the prince of the power of the air.
The spirit that is now at work in the sons of
disobedience. There's a spirit that is now at work in everybody who lives a life of disobedience. The scriptures say so. The spirit, it says, following the course of this world, the prince of the power of the air. This prince of the power of the air is the spirit that is now at work in all the sons or children of disobedience. Amen. John 8:34, what did the Lord Jesus say?
Jesus answered them.
Yes.
Truly,
truly,
truly, I say to you, everyone who practices sin,
whoever lives a life of sin,
is a slave to sin.
Is a slave to Mr. Sin. It is the will of sin, it is the lust of sin that that person will do. That's what that person will practice. A sinner has no inheritance in the kingdom of God. 1 Corinthians 6:9 says so. Say, be not deceived. Say, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Very quickly, read Romans 7. Verse 14-20. The Lord is saying it's important. I don't need to talk about the one of act of sin. Do I need to? We're all conversing with that. But there's a spirit that is at work in everyone who lives a life of disobedience and sin. I'm not saying to you that every sinner is possessed. No. For possession is the last level of demonic operations in life of people. There's suppression, there's repression, there's depression, there's obsession. After all of that level is when you come to possession. But every sinner is in one way or the other in agreement with evil spirits, and he listens to them and obeys them. Do you understand it now? For there's no vacuum in the spirit. If you are not obedient to the Holy Spirit, you'll be obedient to an evil spirit. Yes.
For we know that the law is spiritual.
We are reading from Romans 7, from verse 14 to 20. We know that the law is spiritual.
But I am of the flesh.
But I'm of the flesh.
Sold on that sin.
I'm sold. If you are reading Amplified Bible, it says, I'm sold as a slave on that sin. Yes?
For I do not understand my own actions.
For I don't understand my actions.
For I do not do what I want.
For I don't do what I want.
But I do the very thing I hate.
Things that even I know is bad. That's what I do.
Now, if I do what I do not want,
yes,
I agree with the law,
yes,
that it is good.
Yes.
So now, it is no longer I who do it,
yes,
but sin that dwells within me.
So it's no longer I who do these things. But there's a principle within. There's something within that prompts me, that moves me. So look at it. I said that the flesh is not under the influence, guidance, and leadership of the Holy Spirit. But what is he under? The influence, guidance, and leadership of evil spirits. For there's no vacuum in the spirit. Man must be controlled and ruled by something. If it is not the spirit of God, it will be things lesser than God. Yes?
For I know that nothing good dwells in me.
For I know that nothing good dwells in me.
That is in my flesh.
That is in my flesh.
For I have the desire to do what is
for
right.
For the will is with me.
But not the ability
but
to carry it
how
out.
To perform, I don't know.
For I do not do the good I want.
For I don't do the good things I want.
But the evil I do not want.
But the evil that I don't want, that's what I do.
Is what I keep on doing.
Yes.
Now, if I do what I do not want.
Now, if I'm doing the things I don't want to do.
It is no longer how I would
then
do
it. Then it can't be me who is still doing what I don't want to do. Does it make sense to you? But what?
But sin that dwells
but within sin me. That dwells as a king in the life. And as long as he's there. Can we go somewhere else when we are inside the bus? Can we go somewhere else apart from where our driver is going? That I'm going to offer. Okay? And driver says he's going to undo. Will I arrive at offer? Are you following me? If I want to get to Ofa, what must happen to the driver? Eh? The driver I'm talking about is committed to going to Ondo. But he's not the owner of the vehicle. Do you understand it now? What must happen to that driver? I must find a way to remove him and let another driver be there who will take me to Ofa. Do you understand it now? If I want to enter the kingdom of God, if sin is still what is in the throne room of my heart, will I get in? The answer is no. He is committed to going into perdition as it is written concerning him. Do you understand? And so upon whoever's life that is riding as a vehicle, where will he take that life to? Perdition. So I'm using very, very simple analogy so that you can understand it. So except the Holy Spirit is in control of your life, I can't do what is holy. As long as evil and sinful spirits are upon the life, I don't have a choice, do what is sinful. May you make a right decision today in Jesus' name. To choose a right and do things right in Jesus' name. With his guilt, defilements, and consequences is a natural environment into which the fallen carnal man is born. Everyone who desires to be free from its person and its principles must be born again. So when we talk about being born again, we are not talking about, it's not a religious term. It's not what you do to come into a Christian religion. No. What you need to come into a Christian religion is to be born into a church-going family, right or wrong. But what you need to do if you want to come to Christianity is to be born again. We say all these children are from Christian families, have you? We should have rightly said that they are from church-going families. For that somebody is going to church doesn't mean that he's a Christian. And that's why they will need to be born again. John 8:36. Romans 8:1-2, very quickly, so that we can move on. John 8:36, what does it say?
So if the Son sets you free, you'll be free indeed.
If the Son of God sets you free, you'll be free indeed. Yes? Romans 8:1-2. There's therefore now no condemnation, it says, to those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set me free from the law of sin and of death. When a man has not come to Jesus to be saved, what we are saved from is not enemies of your father's household. It is not a generational curse that we are saved from. What we are saved from is sin. What are we saved from? If a man says he's saved and is still living a life of sin, you are not saved though, and you are not safe. Amen? If you die like that, you are going to hell. That's just a simple truth. What Jesus saves from is sin. Generational curse, enemies of your father's house, what are those other things? Fruit of the womb and all of those things that churches are giving to people today. The reason why they became a man is because there's sin in the life. Everywhere there's righteousness, there's blessing. Amen? Everywhere there's what? There's blessing. Everywhere there is a life of purity and holiness, divine presence is there. To ward off any form and every form of evil. It is sin that Jesus saves from. He does not save from all the things that men are saying he saves from today. The reason why those things are there is because there's sin in the life. If there's no sin in your life, those things cannot be in your life. I was from a set of people who were into so much idol worship and occultism and all that. The juju they have done should have affected me by now. And I've never for once in my life prayed, oh Lord, in the name of Jesus, deliver me from all those things that they gave, even the ones we ate. I've never prayed like that before. For one scripture cancelled it all. If the Son of God set you free, how are you free? Amplified Bible says you are really and unquestionably free. That means nothing and no one can question your freedom. I was not joking when I said 2 days ago, that my uncle was a herbalist. That my grandmother was a witch. I'm not joking. It was so bad, nobody in my family eat her food. Except me. For I read in my Bible that even if you eat anything poisonous, it will not by any means hurt you. So what I'm telling you is not something that I was taught in Bible school. It's what I learned as a teenager. Remove sin. You have removed the the poison of the snake. If you've removed the poison of the snake, can you not be playing with it? Huh? If you've removed its venom, is there anything? Remove sin, and you will mock the devil. They will do a manner of juju. He cannot touch you. For they need a sinner for that thing to be active. Do you understand? But therefore now, Romans 8, 1-2 says, to those who are in Christ Jesus, who live or who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Why? Because the law of the Spirit of life that is in Jesus Christ, it sets free from the law of sin and of death. And that's when I know that there's a law that sinners follow, and there's a law that righteous people follow. And that's why their juju cannot affect me. It can affect you if you're a child of God. If you're living a life of holiness, it can affect you. That's why I know that diseases and all of those terrible, terrible things cannot dwell in your body. They can. For if the Spirit of Him that gave life to Christ dwells in your mortal body, He that gave life to Christ will give life to your spirit. It will quicken your mortal bodies by the same Spirit that dwells in you. Jesus said, I'm the resurrection, I'm the life. Those who believe in me, even if they are dead, even if there's something inside your body that has died, it shall come back alive. Said, and if anyone believes in me and is alive, he shall never die. Believest thou this? Let us put righteous, let us tell ourselves the blunt truth. In Matthew chapter 1 and verse 21, the Bible says, you shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. That's what he came to do. God does not save people in sin. He saves people from sin. Let's call a spade a spade. Shall we continue in sin so that grace can abound? Is that not why Nigeria is reduced to what it has been reduced to? Isn't that why the church is no longer powerful? Is that not why men of God are compromised? Isn't that why we can no longer speak? We can't even pray once and God will hear anymore. Headsmen are everywhere. Boko Haram are everywhere. This is the same country that the church prays with chain governments. It's the same country. What have we come to? That what our men of God are bothered about is how to acquire possessions and properties as if they won't die. And the last time I look at all their pictures, they are growing older and older. What is it? What is it? Is that how we're going to continue? And of course, we'll keep having testimony of money and somebody being healed of disease and all of those things. For Satan also answers prayer points. Whatever that is within his power to give, he can give. He told Jesus, if you bow down and worship me, all these things will be yours. But he cannot deliver you from sin. So in the same churches where there's so much anointing, anointing for business breakthrough, and this and that, they are not delivered from sin. Go and check them. They are not delivered from worldliness. Witches are in the choir. Witches are inside the choir. Occult people, court boys are church members, they're instrumentalists. Do we think we'll continue with just kind of evil and the Holy God will remain with this church? He will not. And that's why all the pagans, they are now powerful. That's why they are finding their voice. For when he wets his glittering sword and he unsheathes his sword, who can face him? Speaking of Lord God Almighty. But judgment must begin in the house of God. We must judge our own sins so that we be not judged. We must judge our own sins so that we are not judged. We must come to a point of righteousness. We must tell ourselves the truth that I can't continue with this poison and expect that I will live well. And expect that power and authority will be in my hands again. My herbalist uncle told me, I was just 19 years old. He said, this is your Jesus, pay you. People have been trying you. But I know it's him. Please, I beg you by the mercies of God. God is not You know, he's not this joker that the church has painted him to be. He's not. Ah, God is the most terrible person I know. It's not this joker that the church has, you know, and then we have the holding meetings, a comedian will come and be laughing, making fun of holy things, and the pastor will be laughing off his head where he's sitting. God does not. He cannot allow sin in any form. How many times did Adam sin before he kicked him out? As you continue in sin, you think you are in? Amen. And because they have lied to you that it's a God of mercy, God of mercy, they are telling you something else. For there is Jesus, there's another spirit, and there's another gospel. Amen. But the true Jesus saves from sin. The true spirit convicts of sin. Amen. The true gospel says, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Anything that makes you say, you know, any kind of gospel that makes you comfortable in sin, the man speaking to you is a liar. He's not a servant of God. You cannot be a child of God, not to talk about a servant of God, and then you'll be excusing sin. If I want to help anybody, the first thing I tell you is that, you see, this is your load. Yeah, so, eh? As long as you are carrying this load, you will not become anything. What did I say? When you carry it, surely it's not possible. You have to abandon it so that good can come to you. The third defilement is the world system. In 1 John chapter 5 and verse 19, the Bible says, we know God, and that all the world around us lieth in wickedness. But in simpler translation, it says, we know that we belong to God, but that the whole world around us is under Satan's power and control. Amen. Now, what does that tell us? The world system is the community life of the flesh. What is the world system? We can see that in Psalm 17, verse 14, Philippians 3, verse 18 to 19, Ephesians 2, verse 12, Romans 1 verse 18 to 32. It will write everything, okay? We will read only Psalm 17 and Philippians. In fact, I think we'll read 3 out of the 4. Psalm 17, 14 first, then Philippians 3, then Ephesians 2. Yes, what does it say? Psalm 6, 14.
From men by your hand, O Lord.
Yes.
From men of the world.
Men of this world.
Whose portion is in this life.
Whose portion is in this life.
You will fill their womb with treasure. They are satisfied with children, and they leave the abundance to their infants.
Yes. Thank you. Ephesians 2:12.
Remember that you were at that time separated.
At that time, when you are an unbeliever, you were separated.
Living apart from Christ.
Living apart from Christ.
That is excluded from all parts in him.
Yes.
Utterly estranged and outlawed from the rights of Israel as
no,
a nation.
For now, read maybe NKJV or King James. For now, when I want explanations, you read from Amplified. Yes.
At that time, ye were without Christ.
Were without Christ.
Being aliens from
aliens.
From the commonwealth of
from
Israel,
the commonwealth of Israel,
and strangers from the covenant
and strangers
of promise,
from the covenant of promise,
having no hope, and without God in the
and
world,
without God in the world. We are speaking about the people of the world and the system of this world as one of the defilers. Revelations chapter 21 verse 27, that those who are defiled will not make it into the kingdom of God. So the world system is a community life of the flesh, and the realm of sin, compromise, and evil. The world system is the broad way that leads away to hellfire. What is the world system? Do you remember that Jesus said that there are two ways? There's a narrow way, and there's a broad way. The narrow way has few people on it. The broad way has almost everybody on it. The world system is that broad way that leads to hellfire. But the way of the cross is a narrow way that leads to eternal life. And God of this evil world is Satan. Now, you must understand the difference between world and earth. Okay? World simply means social order. Okay? The way everything is, the way it is currently in the world. Do you understand it now? We are not saying that Satan made planet earth. That's not what we are saying. Are you getting it now? But we are saying that the organized system that opposes God, the worldly principles that is entrenched and established in every human devil, we say that its architect is the devil, because the Bible says so. Okay? And we will show you scriptures that point out that very clearly. I'm sure you remember 1 John chapter 2, verse 15 to 17, that says, "Love not the world, nor the things that are in the world. For he who loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, they are not the Father's, they are the world. And the world passeth away. For there's a time the world system began." Amen. It came because there was sin. "For the world passeth away, and the lusts thereof. But those, or he, who does the will of God shall abide forever." James 4:4 also said, "You adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Therefore, if anyone wants to make himself a friend of the world, he had already become an enemy of God." You cannot love the system of this world and say you are a Christian. This generation amazes me. Even the song that the instrumentalists are playing is worldly. It's what is reigning among people who don't know God. It's what they are playing in beer parlor. The song or the dance that the lead vocalist is dancing is the latest dance on what do you call that music station? That cable music station. MTV base, thank you. Channel O. The things raining there, that's what choir is dancing in church. That's what everybody else is dancing to. Instrumentalists will be singing Indomie. And I see all the revered pastors seated there. Not a single correction. There's a way the world does party. Amen. There's a way the world has rated everything. And if your desire is to meet up with the standards of this world, let me assure you that you are an enemy of God, even if you're a pastor. There's a way God does his things, and it's always constantly opposite to the way of the world. Because I don't have time, I'll just touch one or two things in it, and then I'll move on. If I've had time, we should have studied the world system. Clearly, when I was teaching about the world system, how long did I used to teach it? Do you remember? That Bible study on the world, how long? Huh? For weeks, it was one full month though. Everyday fellowship. It's so deep. So, you know, the cost that is set to. Let me just point to two or three things so that I can move on, because where we are going is far. Number one, let's talk about money. Amen. What does the world say about money? What can you do without money? Is there anything you can do without having money? Talk now. I'm asking you. And those in the church who has no understanding too, they will quote money and select all things without reading it contextually. What is he saying from the beginning? And what is that verse saying after? Well, if you read it from the beginning, instead of just quoting a phrase, you will see that it's talking about arranging for parties, that you have to buy everything. You buy wine, you buy food. For if you want to do those things, it is money that will answer it all. It was part he's talking about. And buying drink and food. If you know where that scripture is, go and look for it. You see that that is what is there because I've read it before. Money does not answer all things. God answers all things. This time says that without money, you can't do anything. But it's a lie. Who sleeps better between a poor man and a rich man? Eh? Why? Because his wahala is less. But the rich man that must pay 10 billion tomorrow morning and doesn't have 1 billion yet, even when he's on his waterbed, his brain will just be calculating. Even when he uses Valium, his eyes will still be open. You cannot find true love because of money. You can't. Don't let Nollywood confuse you. Eh? You can't find what? That somebody truly loves you because you have money. No, it's not true. You can't have peace of mind because you have money. You see, that thing that used to do you that the moment there's money in your account, that your mind will go down. Check how long that peace will be for. It's as the account is going down. That's how your peace will be go down. So therefore, that cannot be true peace. For the work of righteousness shall be peace, and the effect of righteousness shall be quietness and assurance forever. Peace of mind, tranquility forever. What else? No. If you don't have money, you can't do anything. Will money take you to the kingdom of God? Do they spend dollars there? They don't. Let me ask you this. Do you know the origin and the history of money? Money is a product of the fall of man. When God blessed Adam, did he give him money? Huh? So money cannot be equated to be blessing. Are you hearing me? When God blessed Adam, was there, what did he use? Is it dollar or pound? Or there was no money there. And yet he blessed him. And that's Genesis. So by revelation, the Bible says, blessed are those who will enter into that city. So it's not because they had money. Money came because man fell. Alright? Remember that when God made Adam, he gave him how many things? All things. Is it not so? All the lands, all the mineral resources under them, had control of everything. Okay? But when Adam fell, they started with trade by barter. And then to make it easier and all of that, they turned it into currency. Is it not so? When the age of man is over, the issue of money will be over. Money will not enter the kingdom of God. So don't die because of money. Don't exchange your innocence because of money. God can take very good care of you. You don't need to be a billionaire. You only need to be his child. A simpler example. We have been at this meeting now for 3 days, isn't it so? Did we collect money from you? Huh? But people used to say it's not possible to hold meetings without money. Sometimes it's normal food that we'll cook, right or wrong. But this period, we don't have the time to cook the food. So it is snacks and all that you will take. It's not true that you need money for everything. It's not true. I don't have time, honestly. I don't. I would have shown you different, you know, circumstances, even in my own life. God put money to shame. Where is Brother Moses? You were the one pitying God for me when my wife was pregnant, when I first got married and I was preaching about. Abby? Why were you pitying me? That when my children come now, how will I be able to send them to school? Imagine people worrying for you. He was worrying for me. By the time God will do it, I've never in my life paid ₦1 in school fees. And I have 3 children. I have never. And I'm not saying those who are paying school fees, something is wrong with them. That's not what I'm saying. I'm only saying I chose to live my life on the basis of what God commanded me to do. And I saw him taking care of everything. Do I look frustrated to you? Do I look hungry? And I don't preach money except I preach against it. What about people's opinion? I'm talking about the world. So somebody will pray, hey, Ibita ye could you see? Hey, Lord, my Jackie, can you see? Oh, Jackie, Mark, can you see? Oh, say, we now do party. When we serve the food, they will say, ah, you feel the same way late. Hey, Jalon, serve. So I won't do party the way of the world. Amen. I won't call people that. They will not pay for that food, though. Yeah, they will come to inspect it. I won't give food to those kind of people. People that are sad in their homes. And so they need a few hours away from that home. So even when you are doing party, go home. They won't go. They will not go. They will arrive 3 days before. Then they will leave days after. Ah! Say, ah, you just said that, eh? Kill them, are we? Would they not say our own? Look somehow. How will you be a worldly person? What do you care about what people will say? And yet, you will never care about what God says about you or what he thinks about you. I don't care about what people say. You are free. Remember when I told my mother that we have given birth? She was in the market. My mother is a trader. So she announced to the whole market, we are born, oh! How do you announce to a whole market that you have given birth to? She came and said, hey, you know, this one that we have given birth to this child now, the whole market is coming. I said, you invited them. You will feed them. I didn't invite a market. You are the one that you are the one that. The amount I have is so amount. God Almighty, who made me know that I will not spend one naira beyond the amount. So I gave her that exact amount. Ah, even this one says, that's enough for my loop. I said, that's all I have. I said, you see, if we don't have a thought, there's nothing wrong with Zobo and biscuits. Say, God forbid. Amma, Kobi. I said, what is that one? What are you talking about? Is Zobo not the type of drink? Biscuits is not the type of food? If that's what I have, what is the problem with that? You say, hey, God forbid, this and that. She brought her market. I made sure she fed them. Say, ah, I tell you, Joe, anything here. I want to know. Oh, me. Oh, I've been dead to this world a long time ago. Your duty, man. I didn't invite you. Because I don't even know you. The world system. The terrible, terrible type of thing. The way people see, the way they view things, the way they do things. Say, ah, party in Lagos. What happened? They gave them meat, they gave them fish and rice. Big pay, your rice and man, they want, I don't know. Then when they are going out, they give everybody wine. Ah! At the end, oh my shame. You don't understand. They will only remember your own for 1 week. And after that, they are looking for the next place where they will go and eat. So, when a Christian wants to do something, what does he do? He calls his brethren. Who does he call? They may not even go to tell my church, party, my Yahweh, Rasho, Jack Bese. There will be nothing like that. The Christian only calls his brothers and sisters. And if all what we have is groundnut and water, we would take it with you joyfully because we are standing with you because we believe the same thing. Say no. Any paper so. I'm a party. I'm a holy. I'm a play law. I'm a shaye. Shaye. Yeah. She. Aye. Tori. Any aye. Ne one. You say no. How are we going to show them that we are Christians? By being worldly with them. The churches that says that have become worldly. If you see their pastors, they are not men of God. They are men of gold. All the churches that want to prove to the world that the church is poor, they are all worldly churches now. I have to stop on the world now and move on. Because of time. The architect of this world and its God is Satan, the devil. 2 Corinthians 4:4. Luke 4:5-7, Luke 12 verse 31, and it's primarily set up to oppose God and his kingdom, his laws, and his wisdom. So if God says A, the the world system will say Z. It's always the opposite of what God is saying, that the world is saying. The world is in open, defiant rebellion against God, and it is totally irreconcilable, it is totally in irreconcilable hostility against God. It is into this rebellious world that a natural, sinful man is born. In it he lives and grows up, and to its expectations, pressures, and demands, he will struggle to measure up on life. Unless he repents and separates himself from it, it is in it he will be damned if he follows its course to end. He says, for broad is the way, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And many, many are following the way thereat. The final defiler is Satan, the devil himself. That's the fourth one. He's the god of this world. That is the supreme being worshipped by those journeying through life on the broad way of the world. All those who live in the flesh, and those who live a life of sin, whether knowingly or unknowingly, whether they are religious or profane, whether they are moralists or perverts, whether they are intellectuals or fools, whether they are fanatics or skeptics, their story is the same. That's the person they all serve, whether they know it or they don't. Everyone who has not come into a conscious, consistent, genuine relationship with Jesus Christ the Savior is directly under his influence, control, and direction. It's supposed to be 1 John 5:19. Okay? It's 5:19. And as you say, we know that we are of God. Yes. Yes.
And the whole world.
But the whole world all around us
lies under the sway
of the wicked one. He's the first sinner that tempts others to sin. He is the slave master of the flesh and the great enemy of both God and man. He's the spiritual father of everyone who lives a life of sin. All of this he will write down because there are scriptures in between them that I want you to have. But I'm skipping them because of time. So he will write them down. He is the great deceiver of the whole world. All that is worldly, sinful, and evil is of him, from him, and ultimately serves his purpose and seeks his glory. Brethren, what I'm trying to do is I want to teach a single long session. Do you understand? Then a single question and answer session. Do you understand? Revelation 21 verse 27 says, there shall in no wise enter in anything that defileth. We have dealt with that, is it not so? Nor walketh abomination. That's what I want to talk about now. Can we open to the place? Revelation 21 verse 27 so that we can all see it together. Amen. So we have looked at things that can defile, that cannot enter in. Amen. Now we want to look at the things that works abomination. First of all, how do you define abomination? Something that is utterly detestable. Something that is forbidden. Yes. But something that is utterly detestable, forbidden, and hateful to God. That's an abomination, okay? Even though there are several types of abomination mentioned in the Bible, I will only pick three for us to talk about here, okay? Because those three that are taken are more prevalent amongst more people, or most people, you understand? The first one is idolatry. What was the first one? Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 25 to 26. Who is reading? Okay.
The carved images with fire.
You shall burn the images of their gods with fire.
You shall not covet the silver or
Don't
gold.
Don't covet the silver or the gold that is on them.
Is on them.
Yes.
Take it for yourselves.
Don't take them for yourselves.
Lest you be snared by it.
Lest. it becomes a trap to you.
It's an abomination to the Lord your
God. Because it's an abomination to the Lord your God.
Nor shall you bring an abomination into your house.
Don't bring an abomination into your house.
Lest you be doomed to destruction like
if it. If not, you become doomed to destruction like it.
You shall utterly detest it.
You shall utterly detest it.
And utterly abhor it.
It shall be an abomination to you. You shall abhor it.
For it's an accursed thing.
For it's an accursed thing. Now, most of us will say, well, thank God I don't bow down to any idol. But let us read 1 John chapter 5, verse 21. Particularly from both the Amplified Bible and the Amplified Classic Bible. And then, whether or not we idolaters will be able to see. 1 John 5:21, Amplified Bible first, then Amplified Bible Classic. Or is it classic that you have? Okay, I will read Amplified Bible from here.
Little
children,
keep yourselves from idols.
Keep yourselves from idols.
That is false gods.
That is false gods.
From anything and everything.
That is, keep yourself from anything and everything
that would occupy the place in your heart due to God.
That will occupy the place in your heart that is due to God.
From any sort of substitute for him.
Keep yourself from any sort of substitute for him.
That will take first place in your life.
Whatever takes first place in your heart, that is actually your God. Amen. For most people, it is money. So, people don't mind what they will do to get money. I hear that those Yahoo boys that use juju, some of them now are told to eat their own excreta with bread just because you want to have money. Some of them are told this thing they have done for you, you must not sleep at night. Oh, you can only sleep during the day when you are not a bat. If you mistakenly doze, you will run mad. Just because you want to have money. Those that are not into Yahoo but are very serious with their career. He wakes up 4 a.m. He leaves at past command. He's going to Lekki. And he arrives around 11:30, 12 every day. And it doesn't matter. It's not a problem. As long as they pay him well. Even days when he has holiday from work. And supposed to say, let him wake up to pray or to thank God or something. He will sleep since, you know, the stress of the work. So he's willing and ready to do for money what he cannot do for God. Whatever that takes the first place in your heart, that is your God. Whatever you have to do that controls every other thing else, that's what you worship. Some people, it's not money. It is public opinion, the opinion of other people. Some people, it is fame. They will do whatever they can do just to be famous. Some of these Nollywood actresses are doing that. What all those depraved Igbo women used to do. Now, whenever they want to have birthday, they will do nude snapshots on Instagram. So one, I was reading this in the papers a few days ago, and then all our fans started abusing her. Now, why will you show us naked pictures with sagging breasts? Just because you want to be famous. You'll be stark naked. What do you worship? What do you serve? I'm asking you. For anything that a man serves more than how he serves God, that becomes that man's God. And abominations will not come into God's kingdom. It's not possible. A better way of asking you is this. Even God, why have you come to him? It shocks you that most people, why they come to God is not because they want to respond to the demands of God over their lives, but because they have one problem or the other that they want solved. Therefore, the moment that problem is solved, what happens? You go again because After all, the reason why you have stopped wearing earring and you are now carrying Bible is because that's the only reason. So the moment told you about it here, you go back again to your gods and to your people. The second form of abomination the second form of abomination is covetousness. What do I say it is? Covetousness is not just wanting what other people have. Covetousness is equally wanting what belongs to you, but you don't need now. Amen. What do I say covetousness is? It is wanting something that belongs to you. But that thing that belongs to you, you don't need it when? And from Luke chapter 12, verse 15, Jesus said, take heed and beware of all covetousness. That means that there are different types of covetousness. You know, it used to amaze me how when somebody brings a car to church for dedication, you understand? How everybody will be told to lay hand on the car, and as you have prayed over the car, claim your own. Okay? But if it is B2 that somebody bought and brought to church for dedication, you see church people making sure they won't even stand near it. Come about a moment. What's wrong with B2? Is it not a type of car? I'm asking you. But if somebody buys B2 today, will he bring it to church? If he has nylon bag, maybe we'll use it to cover it as he's driving around. Because there's what the world says about the kind of car to have. And meanwhile, when B2 first came out, whoever had that, I'm sure maybe some women would have left who they are supposed to marry and married the B2 man. Same thing when it was bicycle, then when it was motorcycle. Covetousness is also wanting something when nothing is wrong with the one you have. What's also covetousness? That is wanting something else, and the one that you're using, nothing is wrong with it. Man, phone quanti jadrinse. Infinite hot. Even if you bought infinite cold last week, because the hot one is out, you add money. No, sorry, you look for who want to buy this one off you, so that you can add money to go and buy hot. You know, on a jewel. It is covetousness. I'm shocked with the kind of close relationship that is between envy and covetousness. The moment somebody buys something, you immediately start feeling threatened. Are you getting it? You just suddenly feel less compared to the other person, and you begin to do everything you can to make sure you get something too. Can I tell you that covetousness is a form of idolatry? For the covetous man worships the things he's trying to get and will do whatever he can do for them. I remember the case of Aristo, those Aristo girls, those Ron's girls, who, because of 816,000 naira, was asked by a man to sleep with a dog. And so she slept with the dog. Of course, a few days afterwards, she died. I don't know whether the dog was diseased or something. But that one will ask her to sleep with the dog, then he was recording it on his camera. Not even for $1 billion should you profane your body. If somebody wants to give you something, and you've thought, okay, at least I'll buy iPhone 8. If it is the purpose of God that you use iPhone 8, how will it come? On a platter of gold without defiling you. If iPhone 8 is your problem. So most of the time when I see all those young girls, you know, driving posh cars, looking all lazy, and I see the prices they pay just to have a few trappings in this world, I pity them. Many of those Yahoo boys who do juju use them. They use them for rituals. And they will still be alive. But they are dead. They are just a husk. Why? Ojukuku, covetousness. Me too, I want to be this. I want to be that. I want to be a big girl. I want to be this. I want to be that one. If you want to be a big girl, do big work. What did I say? Work very hard. You can be your big girl, no problem. That still doesn't mean you will enter the kingdom of God. But at least, you will still maintain the integrity of your body and all that. You still be sane. Covetousness. Nothing is wrong with your car. Your friend just bought a new car. You are suddenly no longer comfortable with your car. What's wrong with this car? That somebody, you must push it. And next time you kicked it. And you used to push it with joy before. Before they only bought his own, that once they just start it like that, the thing just answers. They don't need to, you don't have to punch it, you don't have to hit it. It's covetousness. Am I saying don't desire something better? No, that's not what I said. There's nothing wrong with desiring what is better. Okay? Are you getting it now? But then, where is the problem? What's the issue? There's nothing you have, from clothes to shoes, that don't have expiry dates. What did I say? That the people that sold this, okay, it was Elijah that sold it. That Elijah did not put expiry date on this clothes, doesn't mean it doesn't have. A time will come when you know there's a need to change this clothes. Even heaven will know that. Now you say, Methuselah, you need to change this thing. You understand? But when it's not time to change something, and out of just your whims or greed, you insist on changing it, you will fall into sin. There's no how you won't. Okay? Just watch out. Watch out for it. Covetousness. The third form of abomination is sexual perversion. What is it? I'm sure you write. Okay, you are just continuing, Abby. So you still write all these things on me. This idolatry, blah, 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 blah. Eh? So that I can just go on that one asking. From Leviticus 18, from verse 1 to 20, 21 to 30, and Romans 1, 18 to 32, you see all manner of perversions. The things people do. I've had cases of Nigerian men who attempt to sleep with their wife's younger sisters. Because the wife is pregnant. Sister, I beg you, if you are not married, look for a man of God. Look for what? Now, I didn't say to pray for you. I said to marry. Look for a man that fears God. What kind of animal will sleep with a woman and then her sister? What kind of animal would that one be? One recently slept with his mother-in-law because she was tempting him. Well, you know, all manner of very, very evil, some messed up things. Very messed up. Another form of abomination is sexual perversion. What about incest? People sleeping with their own children. People do these things. It's only when police catches them and they expose their face. That's when you know such evils happen. But they happen. And they happen on a daily basis. I'm not saying just in Nigeria, I learned all over the world. These things happen. Anybody who is caught in the midst or web of such evil cannot gain inheritance in God's kingdom. He cannot be admitted in. I move on to the last three before I speak about the Lamb's Book of Life. And it says in Revelation 27, it says, there shall in no wise enter in anything that defileth, nor walketh abomination, nor maketh a lie. You see, the way the Bible uses words used to surprise, it says make. It's as if to construct. Is that not what it means to make? To construct a lie. Three forms of lie constructions are noted here. Number one is hypocrisy. Who is a hypocrite? Huh? A liar. Somebody that acts, you understand, to be something that is not. I define it this way. Hypocrisy is simply acting and pretending to be what one is not in order to give a false and misleading impression of what one really is. That's a hypocrite. So we say, if it's in church or among Christians, say, I bless you. The Lord bless you. How are you? Oh, it is a glory, glory. Remember, he goes out of church and his phone rings. Picks it. Hello, Alpha. Kosuri. Same person. Same person. There's a way it enters, you know. That's I used to call Sunday wear Sunday costume. When people are coming to church, when people wear their Sundays, man. Come holily, you think they are okay. You think they are okay. Let church finish. Then you see the true color. There's a case of even people who are pastors. They drive to church and they get to church. After battering the woman at home, clean your face, oh. Don't come and spoil my ministry. If you talk anyhow in this church episode, I will show you my true color. He has true color. That kind of person makes a lie. So God cannot allow a masquerade in his kingdom. Doesn't a masquerade wear mask? That's how they say masquerade. Doesn't allow a masquerade in his kingdom. You must be the same person in your house and outside. How must you be? Is God different in the temple and different outside? What about Jesus? So that's the kind of person you must be. You must not perfect hypocrisy. What did I say? And people know how to do it. I see it is the flesh that does that. Because the flesh not only knows how to pretend, it knows how to transform. And that's why someone can be in the flesh for 30 years and is carrying Bible preaching and he will not know he's in the flesh. The second form is self-righteousness. What's the second form? It is the hopeless, useless, and fruitless self-effort expended in serving God based on one's terms, methods, and traditions instead of yielding to God's righteousness as established in and by the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross. It is useless. People establishing all manner of ways, standing on all manner of things that they insist upon, that's what makes them righteous. You hear somebody say, as if your fasting is what makes prayers to be answered, and not God's mercy and faithfulness. Somebody will tell some other people, are you not a giver? Challenge God. How will you challenge God and you'll go back safely? Challenger. Because to challenge is ipenija, abi? That's where me I'll tell Yoruba. Abi? To challenge is, oh yeah, come. If you are not a liar, see how much I've given you. What have you given back? Jesus said, even when we have done all that was required of us, what should we say? I'm just an unprofitable servant. I have not done beyond my duty. I've only done that which was required of me. Now, somebody won't even do what was required of him. He'll be boasting. And self-righteousness is always based on works. It is never based on faith. It's always based on what you can point to that can be the ground and confidence of your belief and hope. If somebody starts reading his Bible and is consistent now for a month, he goes on inspection. What does he go on? One is visiting his Christian brothers. He's coming to inspect how they are studying their Bible. You know, God is helping us now. We do 4 hours per day in prayer and Bible study. And we fast 2 weeks at a stretch with no water or food or anything. So you that does not, that you have never in your life fasted 2 full days before, and see somebody fasting 2 full weeks without water, you say, Kai, see holy people. When you go say, oh God, when will I be able to fast like this person? I remember in the days when we first came to church too, and we hear such talk. So we will go into our house to pray. There will be time somewhere. Oh Lord, my Father. We look at time. The thing will be crawling. The time will not quickly be going. Then when we eventually finish, you wonder whether God has heard or he doesn't hear. You don't even know. And when God was going to deliver me, he said, why don't you keep it simple the way we used to talk before? Why can't we continue that? This is your new method. I don't understand it. Hypocrisy, self-righteousness, and the third one, I want to use 4 words to describe it, but I may not really explain, okay? They are actually words that are not true. They could be exaggerations, which is simply afikun, abi, adding what you don't need to add to make it sweet, to embellish until the truth in the thing fades out. It could be flattery. Amplifies exaggeration. To glorify is the word. Thank you. To flatter is to say things about a person that are not true, but will make the person's head to swell. It is misleading and it's a lie. So for instance now, when pastors flatter, you hear them say, I see the glory of God radiating around you this morning. It's not true. If there are sinners amongst you, the glory of God, the glory of God does not shine upon a sinner. Are you getting it now? So that's flatter. Say, tell everybody you're looking wonderful this morning. It may just be that the pastor wants you to feel okay. We also flatter when we want to raise offering. Amen. Look for that money. Even if it's not your own. Give it to the Lord. If you want your harvest to be large. I don't need to deceive you. Moses was asked by God to command the Israelites to give an offering. So he called them, announced the offering, asked them to go home. What do we normally do? We must lock the door. Empty your pockets. Give to the Lord. Paul told the churches of Galatia, and I think, the Galatian church, told them, and then the Corinthians also, there's a need to get an offering for those in Jerusalem. You can put it together before I come. And they had weeks. Why is it that if we don't get it now, you may not remember again? If we do things the Bible way, we'll have Bible-based results. Flattery. Glorifying unnecessarily. What about deceit? Outrightly making something to sound true when actually it is not. Saying something deliberately to mislead and to deceive. Brethren, those who peddle in lies, then there's the other side of it. That I'm begging you in the name of Jesus to me. All of those other ones are sinful. We all know. But there's another one that's equally as terrible, but which 99% of us commit. It is when you don't value your own words. When you don't what? Check out people who doubt God a lot. If their own words is less than tissue paper. They have no faith in their own the things they say. They are not bound by the things they say with their mouth. Don't make promises. Don't be quick to make promises. Don't make promises that you cannot keep. Amen? And your word, as a matter of honor, your word should be your bond. Once you've said something, do whatever it is that you can to make sure you bind yourself as a law to what you have said. If not, keep quiet and don't say anything. My kids believe me because they know I don't lie to them. If I will not do something, I will not tell you I will do it. And so, when they ask for anything, I say, don't worry, I will do it. They've grown to know that I will do it because they've seen me make such promises and what happens? And they've seen me do them. Please, whether it's in your job or to a brother or sister, keep your word. If not, you're not better than a liar. Do you understand? Don't speak thoughtlessly. Don't say things that you will not do. Imagine that you've been reading the Bible then at the book of Revelation chapter 22, the last chapter. The last verse you now read there. All the things that are written here, I was only joking. Oh. I mean, you know. Imagine how you feel. If you say this God is an unserious person. That's it. Eh? No, you wouldn't have sinned because from the last verse, it shows unseriousness. It shows somebody that you don't need to put your faith or belief in. May the Lord grant us peace in Jesus' name. But they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. But they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. Amen. Brethren, Jesus has a book. What did I say? This book is a register. Habakkuk chapter 12 verse 23. Sorry, Hebrews chapter 12 verse 23. Luke chapter 10 verse 20. Very quickly now. Very quickly now. Hebrews 12:23, then Luke 10:20.
And to the assembly of the firstborn.
And to the assembly of the firstborn.
Who are enrolled in heaven.
Who are registered in heaven. What translation is that? Please, can you change it to either New King James or King James or Amplified Bible? I know enrolled means register, but I wanted the word register.
To the General Assembly.
To the General Assembly.
And church of the firstborn.
That is the church of the firstborn.
Which are written in heaven.
Which are written in heaven. That's King James. What does New King James say?
To the General Assembly.
Yes.
And church of the firstborn.
Yes.
Who are registered in
who
heaven.
Who are registered in heaven.
To God the judge of all.
Yes.
To the spirit of just men made perfect.
Yes.
To Jesus the mediator of the new covenant. And to the blood of sprinkling that speaks better than that of Abel.
Amen. There's a register. A register of all the souls who have put their trust and hope in God alone. Those who have put their faith and trust in the faith work of Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary. Luke chapter 10 verse 20.
Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you.
It's not enough to be happy that when you tell evil spirits, go out, they go out. That's not enough reason to rejoice, Jesus says.
But rather, rejoice because your names are written in heaven.
Rejoice that in that register, what happens now? Your name is in the book. If not, all what we described yesterday. Huh? All the joy and the bliss of the age to come. One will not be a partaker or as long as his name is not there. Do you give salary to someone that's not a staff? Huh? And you make food to women. Do you make food for one other invisible child that may come in? Huh? It's only the number of children in the house, is it not so? That you make food for. It's the same way. There's a register that consists the names of those who have put their trust and hope in Christ. This register is a register of the Church of the Firstborn. That is the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is not a denominational register. Amen. You know, it's not a register for Catholics or a register for Anglicans. Even if the name of your church is the Church of God, International Church, it's not your register. It is the general register. It is a register of the General Assembly of all saints of all ages, some of whom have slept in the Lord and some who are yet alive. This register had existed even in the days of Moses, when Moses was telling God to forgive Israel. If not, he should remove his name from his book. Do you understand? And Moses said, God said, no, I will not remove your name from my book. Those who have sinned against me, their names I will remove. So it's not a register written now or written when Christ came. No, it had always been. Even the ancient saints have their names in the same book. Whose names are blotted out from this register? Every unsaved person who has rejected the sacrifice of Jesus for his or her soul until death comes knocking. Everyone who lives in sin, and every hypocrite, their names will not be there. We say blotted out, that is erased, because it is the will of God and his desire for all men to be saved. On the final day of judgment, when all sinful and unbelieving dead are raised back to life, and the books are opened, including the book of life, as many whose names are not found written in the book of life shall be thrown unceremoniously like refuse into the lake of fire. You see that in Revelation 20 verse 15, Hebrews 2 verse 3, Hebrews 12 verse 25. Which other books are used in judgment? Read very quickly for me, Revelation 20 verse 13, because I'm about to wrap up now, and then if you have your questions, you will ask.
And the sea gave up the dead who were in them.
Yes.
And they were judged, each one of them, according to what they had done.
Sorry, can you read verse 12?
Yes. And I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne, and books were opened.
The books were opened.
And another book was opened, which is the book of life.
At the judgment, it's not only one book that will be opened. There are at least two other books. What did I say? And I'd like to point to them. I said at least two other books, but I'll talk about three books upon the book of life, okay? And after then we'll pray, and then that will be the end as far as the word of God is concerned for this meeting. Amen. Which other books are used in judgment? Number one, the book of destiny. The book of what? Psalm 139 verse 16, Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 7. The book of destiny.
Your eyes saw my unformed substance.
Yes.
In your book were written.
Your book were written.
Every one of them.
Every one of them.
The days that were formed for me.
The days I was supposed to live.
When as yet there was none of them.
Even when there was not one of them yet. Which means some things are written concerning us. And they were written in a book. Amen. The other scripture. Hebrews 10:7. Hebrews 10 and verse 7.
Then said I.
Behold,
I have come to do your will, O God.
Come to do your will, O God.
As it is written of me in the scroll of the book.
As it is written of me in the scroll of the books. Brethren, can I tell you that that's what is written concerning you? You see, I initially thought also that judgment is just based on works alone. I found out no. Judgment, either of the unbeliever or of the believer, except that the unbeliever will lose his soul. You understand? But the unbeliever may lose his reward, but not his soul. Okay? Will be based on not just the works that you have done, but also what you should have done. Amen. It is only when you live in Christ that you live on the basis of the script that God has written concerning you. Therefore, what you did can easily correlate with what you should have done, e.g. Jesus Christ. You know what was written concerning him is what he came to do. Huh? So that's a good example. We were foreknown and therefore predestined. You can see that in Romans 8, verse 28 to 30. The very concept of our purpose is deeply rooted in the foreknowledge and predestination of the eternal God. Ephesians 1, verse 3 to 5 and verse 11. Thus, we'll be judged on the basis of what we should have done and what we actually did. Amen. This component of predestination and foreordination is integral in both the different judgments of the righteous and the wicked. Then, scriptures were given that you can use to compare. Amen. The second book is the book of works. This one is for the damned. That means this one is for those who will lose their souls. Okay? This one is for unbelievers. Since the unbeliever refuses to come to Jesus Christ for the cleansing away of his sins, a detailed record of his life of sin and rebellion are kept, or is kept before God in heaven, so that justice can be served in due time. Yet, if God marks or counts iniquity, who shall stand? Sadly, the damned sinner will have to face the full intensity of the wrath of God, naked, alone, and with no hope of mercy or pardon, since Jesus, who saves us from the wrath to come, has been rejected. Tremble therefore, O sinner, under what refuge will your soul hide on the day of God's divine retribution and vengeance? Finally, the book of remembrance. Of course, for the book of works, you can see that in Revelation 20 verse 12. Okay, you can see that also in Ecclesiastes 12, that was talking about there's nothing secret that will not be revealed. Amen. And that also talks about the fact that people will be repaid according to what they have done. Also, Galatians 6 and verse 7, that says, God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, that's what he will reap. The book of remembrance, this one is for the believers. Malachi 3 verse 16. 2 Corinthians 5, 9 to 10. Malachi 3:16 is the only one that we'll read because of our time. The book of remembrance for the believer is a book that God writes for one purpose alone. To record the things that the believer does since he has believed. Do you understand? So that when it's time to judge his works, okay, that he did in the body since he believed, it can be rewarded properly. It's simply a record for reward. Do you understand? It's not an evidence for conviction, like the book of works. Since his sins has been judged in Jesus Christ. Amen. As we stand up to pray, let us stand up to pray. We'll still have question and answer so that whatever is not clear in what was taught, you can ask, okay? But now let us pray. I want you to ask God to shield you in Jesus Christ. Judgment is coming upon this world. Judgment is coming upon the people of this world. Ask that the Lord in mercy will help you to live a life that agrees with his will, so that you can be preserved from the wrath to come. Let us pray in Jesus' name. Shield us, Father. Help us to respond to the demands of Jesus, so that we can become what you want us to be. Help everyone, Lord, under the influence, under the sound of my voice. Help me also, that we will find a refuge under your wings, So that on that day, when your wrath is poured forth in fury and without mixture into the cup of your indignation, our souls will be preserved. We will find solace and comfort under your everlasting arms. I want you to tell him, in whatever area sin has not left you alone, ask the Lord to deliver you. Jesus came to deliver from sin. He came to save from sin. Ask Jesus to do in you what he came to do in the world, so that you can be a full partaker of all the blessing, all the grace, all the favor, all the mercy that Jesus Christ brought. Ask for help in the name of Jesus. Ask that the Lord will help you. Ask that the Lord will keep you. Ask that the Lord will keep and preserve you even unto his everlasting kingdom in Jesus' name. Ask that you be not missing. Ask that you be not lost, even in the name of Jesus. Ask for grace to live this life. Grace to emulate the examples of Jesus. Grace to follow him daily. Grace to live for him. Grace to live for him.
Father, we pray that you will help us and grant us grace in the name of Jesus. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you for sending to us again things that we need so that our sojourn on earth here will end well. Be thou exalted in the name of Jesus. Lord God, you are the one that has the power to make us well and also to do what you want us to do. Lord, we pray that such power will be released to us all in the name of Jesus. You that is able to keep us until the end, you that is able to keep us from falling, keep us righteous, keep us ready until the end. Father, we pray that the power that keeps a man from falling, the power that keeps a man ready, the power that makes a man to be fit for the kingdom, Heavenly Father, we pray that you release upon every one of us the name of Jesus. Heavenly Father, you know every one of us. You know how we came. You know how you yourself brought us here. Lord, you know from where you brought us to this point. You know where we are coming from. You know things that are dragging us away from you. You know things that are out there that may be waiting for us to come out so that they will distract us and keep us away from what you have given to us here. Father, we beg you this morning that you yourself will shield us from such things in the name of Jesus. Lord God, we pray that the word that you have given to us, Lord God, we pray will keep burning in our heart until the end in the name of Jesus. That this word will keep us, the same word with which you used to make or create the world that you have sent to us, Lord God, will be effective and effectual in our lives in the name of Jesus. Lord, may it not be ineffective in the name of Jesus. Thank you for everyone that you have used. Lord, we pray that you replenish in the name of Jesus. The devil will not steal your word from us. The cares of this world will not choke them off in the name of Jesus. Lord, give us the heart, O God, that will make this word to come back. I mean, to yield fruits until eternity in the name of Jesus. Thank you, our Maker. In Jesus' name we are praying. Amen.
Having listened to the undiluted word of God, We implore you to respond to this message prayerfully. Remember, it is what you do with what you hear that brings about transformation. For further inquiries or counsel, or for more information on our discipleship labors, please contact us on 080-3348-0058, 080-813-8536, 080-7455-8177, 081-409-9132-1, or visit our blogspot at
www.reformationplatform.com. When it's all been said and done, there is just one thing that matters. Did I do my best to live for truth? Did I live my life